God bless you all. Welcome to our Monday Night Fellowship. Our theme verse is James 1:5. And if you know this verse, or you're here and you can see it, it doesn't say if any of you lack wisdom, ask a man and then let him go to God. No. It says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What a consolation to know that our Father is ready. And this is the message that our first video we'll be watching is about. We'll be watching a condensed version of this video, which is a lot longer. But for the sake of time, it's a shorter clip of the video. And the message that Dr. Gibbs is teaching is, are you and I going to man first, meaning ourselves, with our wisdom, or before, as God says in, go to Proverbs 3:5, please. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in who? The Lord. With how much of your heart? All thine heart. And lean not unto our own understanding. Sunday morning at Fellowship, Tim Linfelt and I had a wonderful time talking. And one of the things we were talking about was in life, we have things that are considered small decisions to make. So it's human nature to say, God, you can sit this one out. I've got it, right? But I've been practicing more and more to go to God first. No matter how big or small the task is at hand, you go to God first, because that's when you get the most prosperous results in what it is you need. And Tim and I were talking about that, and it's so true. So you seek God first so that you can have those answers to the things that are on your heart. Are we making Almighty God our first and only choice before we make our first move? That's what's important. Before you make your first move, go to God. And don't try to categorize how big it is that this thing is you're going to, but put God first. It's the smartest, humblest, wisest, most prosperous thing you could do in your life. And I promise you, the promise I give you is not mine, it's from God, that you will notice the results you receive. Okay? So, we're going to enjoy the sharing. And then the second sharing is something else that I'll discuss just before we go to it. But this first one is very lighthearted, and it's about what I just said. So please enjoy this first video.
One day I bought a small farm for myself, and I got some cattle. And I got a great buy on the farm because it was all overgrown. It had been let go. All the weeds on my farm were shoulder high. Some of them were 10 feet high. But I got a great buy because I wasn't sure what I bought. So I called my dad and I said, I need to borrow your brush hog and get out here and clean this up, see what I own. And I like brush hogs. How many of you ever had a brush hog time? Yeah, I mean, they're just fun. Nothing's pretty, but it's all down, okay? And you go over it, and man, if the tractor can bend it over, it'll chop it up for you. Well, I'm out mowing along, and everything's going good, and I made a discovery that I bought something on my farm I did not know was there. Now, I found a lot of things. Somebody had thrown away dozens of old baby buggies. You ought to hear what they sound like going through a brush hog. It's great. And then somebody threw away some old engine blocks. You ought to hear what they sound like going through a brush hog. Pow! But I'm mowing along, and I went over a hole, not very big, about that big around. And in that hole was an animal I had no idea existed on planet Earth. They're called ground bees. They're a cousin of a wasp. And when I went over that hole, those ground bees, like an oil gusher, came flying up out of that hole. They came after that tractor, and they came after that brush hog like you couldn't imagine. They're trying to sting it. Some of them went into the tires and stuck so hard they got stuck on the tires of the tractor. But while they were nailing the tractor and while they were nailing the brush hog, you could hear them talking. Oh, I'm telling you, they did. They said, get the fat boy on the tractor. That's what they said. They went up my pant legs. They went down the back of my T-shirt. They went up under my ball cap. I got bit everywhere. Those stingers are unreal. I come flying off that tractor, swatting myself. I didn't even get the thing out of gear. It just ran off and went and hit a tree and stopped over there. Man, I went and jumped under. There's a pond, probably a distance from here to that wall. Man, I jumped in that pond, and I'm looking up. You can see them hitting the water. Finally, they went away. I come out of that pond, and I had one mission in life. Get even with the ground bees. I know vengeance belongs to the Lord, but on occasion he just has to understand. That's all. I mean, it just. I told my wife, she said, you're so lucky you didn't get killed. I said, I'm telling you, I'm going to get even. She said, don't you think we should call some people out here who know what they're doing? How many of you men understand the inherent insult in that comment, right? Now, if you're in the country and you want to do something, there is a resident place of knowledge called the feed store. And in the country, you go to the feed store, and there are always guys sitting in the feed store who can answer just about everything. Man, I am all bit to pieces. I come walking in the feed store. They got a potbelly stove there, and there's three guys sitting there. And when they looked up, it was amazing. First guy looked at me and he said, ground bees. I thought the man's a prophet. Look at that. Second guy looked at me and he said, bet that hurt. And third guy said, bet you want to know how to get even. I mean, it was ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. I didn't even open my mouth yet. I said, yeah, you bet. I want to know how to get even. I said, okay, here's what you do. Make sure you wait till tonight. Because they said at dusk, like ribbons in the sky, they'll all come back and go down the hole. You get them all in the hole. You don't wait till it's dark, they'll nail you again. And you don't want that, do you, fat boy? I said, no. Fat boy don't want that. No, no, no. They said, once they're all down the hole, you pour gas down the hole. And once you have poured gas down the hole, then you light a match, and you will feel much better. I said, I got it. Wait till dark. Gas down the hole, light a match. They said, that's it. Then I went home. I told my wife, this is going to be good. Sure enough, I waited. And at dusk, it was amazing. Like ribbons in the sky, black ribbons. I have no idea how many ground bees were in that hole, but thousands and thousands of them. And they would come and go whew, right down the hole. Finally, it's all dark. I got my son Matthew, who's a pastor today, with me. He was a young man, and we went out and we're listening. And man, you can hear him down there. I think they're still gurgling on the fat boy stuff. So point one's done. Dark, they're in the hole. Point number two, I need gas. Walked over, Got a 5-gallon can with me? Poured 5 gallons down the hole. Hey, there's a lot of bees. But I'm not done. I can still hear them. So I pour a second 5-gallon can. They never said how much gas to pour down the hole. I told Matt, I said, there's a bunch. Go get the other 2 5-gallon cans. When it was done, I had 20 gallons of gas down the hole. I said, okay, Matt, I'm ready to feel good. What happened next was like unbelievable. I took the match and I went, and I never got to toss it. I mean, I went. I burned a perfect circle. All those vapors had come up out of that hole and spread out in a circle. That circle had to be probably 75 or more feet in diameter. It melted the soles on my shoes. It took my eyebrows off. Flames went up so high in the air that we got a call from the local police that an airliner had spotted an explosion. My wife, who was watching from the house, came running out. And she said, where's Matthew? You killed Matthew. And I'm looking around, no Matt. He had run and jumped in the pond. Next morning, I went back to the feed store. All three of them are sitting there. First one said, too much gas. Second one said, bet that hurt. And third one said, bet you're up here to find out how to do it next time. I said, guys, I got one question. How many times have you ever done it? You know what they said in unison? We've never done it. We just tell other people how to do it. And the one guy said, fools like you walk in here all day long.
In the lengthy version of this video is, who are you going to first, man or God? You think if he would have asked God for some help, it would have been different, the results? I think so. So the next video we're going to look at is slightly longer, and it's a true story. But this is emphasizing prayer, which is very crucial in our lives, not just for ourselves, but for others. So please enjoy this next video as my wife brings it up.
Now they know where they are.
In the early 1900s, an event happened that I close with. Alaska has very cold winters, if you've ever been up there. I mean, last time I was, two years ago, in Fairbanks, the dead of winter, it's 40 below. And they just accept these cold temperatures. Well, in 1927, they had the worst winter on record. Storm after storm came off the Bering Sea, and it buried them in record snowfalls where they normally have snowfalls in the mountains of 20, 30 feet, that 100 feet. Temperatures plunged 60, 70 below. And all of that's just of interest except for what happened. There's Anchorage down near the bottom, and Nome is 1,000 miles north. And to get from Anchorage to Nome, you got to cross two mountain ranges, one of which is the tallest mountain range in North America. All of the weather had closed in. There was a train tracks that would go between Anchorage and by train, it was a 10 to 12 day journey. But of course, snow has everything embedded. They have wires for the telegraph. And wonderfully, the wires, which normally break in the spring, had stayed encased and intact. So Nome could still communicate to the world by wireless, by wire. And a diphtheria outbreak, a deadly virulent kind, broke out in Nome. Now they have a vaccine that's reasonably effective, but Nome has run out, and the disease has now reached plague proportions. Nome telegraphs the world, we're dying. We're out of medicine, and of the people who get the disease, in the kids, it's almost 100% fatal. And in the adults, it's 70 to 80% fatal. Pray for us. That got picked up by the wire services for the world. The President of the United States asked for a national day of prayer for Nome. He said, I don't know what we can do, but we need to pray. The Queen of England, unprecedented, stood up and asked the entire English Commonwealth around the world to pray for Nome, a city that's isolated and dying. Air is in its infancy. There's no way to fly up there because in these temperatures and these snowfalls, no airplane at that point can fly. There's no way to get there, but a man by the name of Charlie Olson, who's a dog sled driver, a musher, got on the wire, and he started talking to other dog sled drivers. And he said, I know what I'm about to propose is utterly impossible. But he said, Nome is totally out of medicine, and they're dying. And there's an almost unlimited supply in Anchorage, 1,000 miles away. He said, now you don't have to tell me this is impossible because I'm the most experienced dog sled musher in the state and I know it's impossible. But he said, here's my thought. Could we load a dog sled full of the life-saving material? And could we try to go 20-mile legs? He said, I understand the temperatures are prohibitive. And I understand we only have 3 hours of daylight each day. And I know we'll be running the mountains in the dark. He said, you don't have to scare me with the facts. I know the facts. But he said, people are praying. And when people pray, God does things. Everybody immediately came back and said, ridiculous, can't be done, never been done. But the mushers, who weren't known to be particularly spiritual people, took what he said, that's right, they're praying. And when people pray, God does stuff. Let's do it. When the President of the United States heard of their valor and what they were going to try to do, he called for a second day of prayer. He said, their chance of success is virtually zero. But let's pray. Queen of England broke silence again and asked the whole Commonwealth to pray for this effort. They loaded the dog sled with all the life-saving stuff, and disaster struck. A storm came in. They didn't have satellites, couldn't tell when the stuff was coming. A storm came in, and it got worse than ever. And everybody said, it's time to call it off. But the mushers said, no, it's always been impossible. Now it's just more impossible. And people are praying. The sled left out. Temperatures are dropping. And amazing. In 3.5 days, running blind, they moved the material to within 67.5 miles of Nome. Charlie Olson is running his leg, the man who conceived the whole thing. He's to hand it off to his dearest friend, Gunnar Kaysen. And when Charlie comes in, he said, Gunnar, what we've done is amazing, but it's over. He said, the temperatures are so cold, my dogs are frozen harness. He said, their blood's gelling. I froze 3 in harness. He said, I'm so cold, I can't close my hands. It's amazing what we've done, but it's over. Gunnar Kaysen said, no, Charlie, it's not over. They're still praying. He said, you can't go, Gunnar. It's suicide. Out of all the legs, you have the worst. You're going to be running along 5,000-7,000-foot drop-offs. And the snow is so piercing, you can't see. You'll be running blind. He said, we'll never find you. Don't go. Don't do it. He said, no. Help me load. Charlie Olson said, Gunnar, I beg you, you got one problem. He said, your lead dog is injured. And the lead dog in a dog team is everything. He said, you got a little black husky up there that's unproven, whose name is Balto. That dog will kill you. Don't you do it. He said, I'm already afraid. But they're praying. Help me load. Charlie Olson said he helped them load his sled, but he begged them, please don't go. They embraced. And he said, Gunnar Kaysen got behind his sled. And he said the bravest words he's ever heard a man say. Balto! Hup! Hup! That's what the musher says to lead on. No sooner did those words come out of his mouth than he said the most painful, icy blast came roaring through. And the dogs, instinctively to survive, started to curl in the snow. And he said, Gunnar Kaysen and said, Balto, won't you look at the storm? Hup! Hear me! Hup! Up! Hup! And he said, Balto stood up and looked back. He said, Balto, hup! And Balto started to pull. And because Balto pulled, the others pulled.
He said he could only be seen as he went off, for he said maybe 20 feet. And then the snow obscured him. But he said his voice kept getting carried back by the wind. Hup! Hup! Hear me, hup! Hup! And he said then it began to fade. And he thought, I'll never see him again. He went in and wrote in a journal. He said, Gunnar Kaysen's the bravest man I ever met. And Gunnar Kaysen really believes God does stuff if people pray. Gunnar Kaysen miraculously ran his leg. His dog sled overturned twice. He broke ribs on both sides. He broke bones in one arm, but he didn't stop. He made it to the next to the last outpost. When he got there, he encountered something he wasn't ready for. There were no lights on. There were no dogs in harness. Somebody was asleep. And I got the life-saving stuff. He knew to get the dogs up and get them fed and ready to pull could take an hour or two. And he made a decision. No one had run two legs, let alone the hardest two. But he's got the stuff that's got to get there. Alto, hup! Now, wait a minute, Gunner, you did your part, buddy. Because somebody else is asleep at the switch. Come on, you did your part. Hup! Hup! Gunner Kaysen went 67 and a half miles. All the way into Nome. When he came in, they said he was so froze he could hardly talk. His dogs could hardly move, their blood had chilled. When they came up to him, they said he could only mumble two things. Good dogs. Good dogs. And isn't it something when people pray? He was so froze he couldn't walk. What he did went around the world. What he did is so envied today in Alaska that in the honor of what these men did, they run a race called the Iditarod. Where under extremely controlled conditions, they do this impossible race from Anchorage to Nome. And one of the renowned Iron Men tried to do that race, and he said, an Iron Man competition is a piece of cake compared to that. They took Gunnar Kaysen to New York. They wanted to give him the first Congressional Medal of Honor ever given to a civilian. He refused. He said, give it to my dogs. He said, I was just along for the ride. The New York Times said, amazing, amazing. You go to New York today, Central Park, only one animal has a statue to himself. It's Balto. And you know what it says? When his master set up, he went. All the interviews, New York Times, said, how'd you do it? He said, well, people were praying.
Or 78 degrees above, like here in San Diego. Prayer is weatherproof, my brothers and sisters. And it was proven in this particular incident that when I heard it the first time, it brought tears to my eyes, knowing that the dogs are going to do what they're supposed to do. Not that they wanted to do it, but they were being obedient to to the master. What about us? Are we obedient to the master? God's not going to whisper in your ear, up, up. No, he's going to give you specific things to do. But let this story, which was true, be an example of how prayer moves people. The President of the United States, Queen of England, said, hey, we're going to pray as a nation. So wanted to share this second video with you guys, or this audio, so that you have something that you can think about when things get a little tough in your lives. I don't think I'll ever be in 80 degrees below zero, and if I do, it'll be in a Hilton hotel, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, it's amazing. So let me close with prayer so we can get these other folks offline, off mute, and close the fellowship for this evening, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the awesome and amazing privilege you give us to deliver your word, Father, to deliver your word in comfortable climate at that. But it's a life-saving word, just like the serum was for those people in Nome, Alaska. Because this life we live now is temporal. We look forward to eternal life, Father, where it will be perfect. No more tears, no more sickness, no more downtrodden people, Father, but we'll be living in your presence and with our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So help us to hear you better each day and to do your will, Father, to do your will. And I just thank you for each person to get in this room and their purpose to serve, Father, whatever that may be, that you're with them always. And that we can, again, do many, many things that we may think are impossible, but with prayer, they're not. For you are the God of the possible. And so I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.